FPL is back, and so is the brand new FPL pod. From novices to know-it-alls, we've got all the tips to transform your teams. So buckle up and enjoy the ride. Hello and welcome back to a brand new year of Fantasy Premier League and a fresh new season of the FPL pod. I'm Kelly Summers, and every week I'll be joined by both experts and fanatics of FPL to bring you the latest tips and anecdotes of this game that we all love. And somehow, I'm not sure how I've persuaded two of them to join me on every single episode. So welcome along to our regular guest, Sam Bonfield of FPL Family. Hello, Sam.
Hiya, Kelly. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And also, we're going to be joined each and every week by the man, the myth, the legend, the French broadcaster himself, Julien Laurent. Hello to you, Jules, all the way from France today.
Exactly. Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me on.
We're very much looking forward to having you on throughout the season. Now, I said we'd also have familiar faces from the world of FPL. Well, this week, we are starting with a bang. From Fantasy Football Fest, it's Gianni Battista. And Gianni, it's been a busy summer for you. As well as preparing for another season of FPL, another fest, you've also had a new addition.
Yeah, we welcomed beautiful Gaia to the world 7 weeks ago. So it's been a busy, busy summer. I've had a nice distraction of some drafts, though.
Of course, of course. I'm sure you're on draft. What draft do you reckon you're on?
Oh, 74? 75? Yeah. My photo reel on my phone is just literally full of drafts.
Should be full of baby picks, but actually full of FPL drafts.
Priority to write, though, Kelly.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's enough nappy chat. Let's get stuck in. On this pod, we are hoping to ease you in to the new season, reminding you of the game's fundamentals and also keeping you up to date of any changes that have happened in the game. So the game launched at the start of July, and we had price reveals throughout the day. Firstly, Jules, when the game relaunched, how excited were you? And we're a few weeks on from that now. With the season about to start, how ready are you for the upcoming campaign?
I was so excited, Kelly, that I kept trying to get in even before it kind of relaunched or launched for the season. It was it was like, when is it? You know, when is it? I was waiting. And now super excited because that I think can bring the game to a new level. Plus, it's always the same for all of us, trying to do better than last season, trying to do better than your friend. I mean, I do better than you, of course, I do every year. But this is just so excited to have a new season about to start.
Shots fired.
At this point, should I point out where I finished last season, where Jules finished, or should we just gloss over that, Jules?
Ah, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, top 50k for me. Not so sure about you. What about you then, Sam? Because I know a lot of your job is revolving around it, as well as at home. You're part of FPL Family. A lot of chat. How excited were your household when that game was eventually released?
It was like, refresh, refresh, refresh. Come on. Like, when's the game going to go? And yeah, I mean, I must admit, I am one of those people that really likes a low team ID. So I was determined that I was going to have one going into this season, which is nice then to kind of start the season with a number I can easily remember. Very, very exciting.
Triple digits from you, Sam, I hear.
Yeah, I'm that keen, Gianni, you see. I'm there straight away as soon as the game is live, pressing that refresh button and wanting a triple digit number. Next year, maybe I'll get double digits.
Like it. We're on 3 million plus now, so you've done well.
Yes, and I'm sure by the time this goes out, there'll be even more. Now, at this point, we're all planning our teams. And I'm thinking around this time, okay, I've got to set my strategy for the season. What did I not do right last season? For me, I left my chips too late. I was a really high rank, and then I kept thinking, hold on to this wild card, or hold on. And I really regretted it in the end, because if I'd have used it earlier, I'd have made my team better earlier. So my resolution is to not leave my chips as late, to use them when I need to use them. What's your new season resolution, Sam?
I think for me, one of the key problems I had last year was bad choices on wildcard, and a lot of those choices were made because I had a real fear that the rest of the FPL game were going with certain players over others. So I, for example, took Son out on wildcard and replaced him with Kane just before Son went on that massive run, because Kane had been doing really well. And so I think I'm going to try and just stay a bit more true to myself, not panic about what everyone else is doing, and just be loyal to the players that I know will eventually come good. Because had I done that with my wildcard last time, probably would have ended up better at the end of the season.
Regular listeners who tuned in last year and the year before and the year before that will know that Sam is a Spurs fanatic. And looking at the signings they've made this summer, Sam, you're going to be able to stay loyal to your Spurs boys, aren't you?
Well, that's the plan. Yeah. Now, suddenly it's not just can I have Son or Kane. There's lots of options at Spurs. So, yeah, very exciting season from a Spurs FPL perspective for sure.
We'll come on to that very shortly and talk about specific players. This is one of two pre-season FPL pods for you, so I'm sure we'll dive into Spurs in a little bit more detail, either later or in the next podcast. What about you, Jules? Any new season resolutions?
Well, what cost me a lot, I think, last season was my love story with Harry Kane. As you all know, we've got a father and son relationship. And, you know, for too long, I kept him when he was rubbish. And I think that cost me a lot of points. But I just could not take him out of the team.
Get that. First pod of the season and rubbish and Harry Kane in the same sentence.
I think I might have to quit already, Kelly. I don't know if I can pod every week with somebody who's going to call Harry Kane rubbish.
To be fair, most of the time he's declaring his love for him and he's not getting anything back. What about you, Jenny? What do you want to do differently this season?
Do you know what? Mine centres around loyalty issues as well. Like at times last season, I was too loyal to some of my premium players. Harry Kane at times, we saw at the end of the season, Son going crazy. We saw KDB the same. We were probably a little bit too slow reacting to some of these premiums because of our loyalty to some of the others. You know, it made sense at times at the end of last season to actually drop the best player the game's ever seen in Mo Salah and go to a Son or go to a KDB, but we were slow to that and it cost us at the end.
Okay, well, that feels like we've just done a bit of FPL therapy. We've put those things behind us, guys. Now it's time to look ahead. Now, when you do open the app or the website, one of the first things when you sign up that it makes you do is select a team name. Now, this is a big thing because you're going to have that team name for the season. Come on then, Jules, tell us, what's your team name this year?
I decided to keep the same one as last season, which didn't bring me much luck, but I like the sound of it. It's Sambi on Ice for Sambi Lokonga. And we all cried, whether it was as kids or as adults, watching Bambi on Ice. So I kept Sambi on Ice.
I do love some of the puns and some of the way that managers use players' names or team names to create a good team name. And Sam, you stay true to your Spurs roots normally with your team name. So what's it going to be this year?
I do, yeah. And actually, my favourite ever Spurs player is Toby Alderweireld. And when he left, as a kind of homage to him, and it will forever now be, my team are called Best in the Alderweireld.
I like that one as well. It's giving me some inspo here. Yeah. What about you, Jenny?
I wish I'd taken inspiration from Jules and gone with the Bambi on Ice thing. Like, I was playing football last week and literally someone shouted at me, he's all arms and legs, he's like Bambi on Ice. So yeah, I've gone for Batici's Babes, using my surname, little nod to the Busby
Hold
Babes
on
there.
A sec. You're all sticking with the same team name from last season. Yeah. You boring bunch.
What are you going to be? Yeah.
I haven't even got one yet, so I can't really talk. Last year I went with Summer Signings. Summer's been my surname, but I felt that was a bit rubbish, to be honest. So I'm open for suggestions. If anyone wants to help me name my FPL team, it's at Kelly Summers, and I'm joking. Anyway, let's move on to some specific tactics and strategy. Now, once you've got that difficult decision of team name out of the way, Sam, what's the first thing you do when you've got that blank team sheet? What's your thinking? The first thing that you have to do when setting up your team?
Find Mo Salah and pick in. I think for me, it's
still.
Even now, even without my Spurs loyalties, for me, he's the player that I get absolute fear of missing out about. If I don't have him, I panic. And I remember last season going into the Christmas period, Liverpool then had that game cancelled. And I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll transfer him out. And then the week after, he had one game against Crystal Palace before he went off to play in the African Cup of Nations, and the absolute panic that set in with me that I didn't own Mo Salah. Yeah. I mean, I played my free hit to get him back in. So I think for me, I just can't bear to have an FPL team that hasn't got him in. I know he'll do well over the course of the season. So yeah, I add him first and then I start thinking about everyone else.
What about you, Jenny?
Yeah, it's boring to say, but we go by the same principles, us keen FPL managers. We put Salah in our team for the right reasons. He's the best player the game has ever seen. So he's the first guy that I put in my team sheet. There's very few essential players. He's one of probably two or three. So straight in my team.
Does cost a lot of money, of course. But is it the same for you, Jules? Is that the first thing you're doing? Or maybe Harry Kane has to be first in your team?
Kane is amongst the first for sure. Trent is my first one. I don't know. I like starting with the goalkeeper or the defence. So Trent is always my first pick. And then I go into Kane, Salah's, and I go into my four or five ones that I have to be there, and then I just adjust the rest and adapt to the rest.
Okay, so first name on the team sheet, it's the premiums, it sounds like. Is that how you build your team? You go for your premiums first and then everyone else has to slot in around them, Jenny?
Yeah, I go for my premiums in all the positions, and then I actually go to the budget players. Like the budget players I'm looking at, I definitely want in. Leon Bailey, for example, 5 million midfielder, put him in nice and early. And then I look at my luxury assets, you know, your 8 million midfielders, of which there are so many, they're your luxury picks. So, you know, you look at your list of 5-6 of them and go, I can only have one. So, you know, you start the top, then the bottom, and then you look at the middle bracket.
you start the season with 100 million, do you look at that and do you kind of compartmentalize it into positions and think, well, I'm going to spend 20 million on defense? How do you do it in that way, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I like to spread the budget across the team because I find for me, I want to have a team that's got as much flexibility as possible in those opening game weeks of the season. We see lots of popular assets. You know, Johnny was just saying about the 8 million bracket. So many great options in there. You're only probably going to have one or two of them. But having one or two going into the early part of the season means you can switch onto the ones that perform really well in game week one, game week two, make sure you hit those purple patches. So yeah, for me, it's about spreading budget, having a premium in every single position on the pitch, and then having flexibility around the price points.
What about you, Jules? Do you look at it like that? And do you also consider being able to transfer from premium to premium? I remember at the beginning of last season when Romelu Lukaku came in and we had Harry Kane as well and Cristiano Ronaldo, there was a lot of people looking at fixtures and thinking, well, I'd like Lukaku for these ones, I'd like Harry Kane for these ones, I'd like Ronaldo. And so they make it so they can transfer them. Alas, of course, last season, that didn't really work out too well. But do you do that with a view to being able to switch between like your premiums as such?
Not so much. Maybe I should. I just try, to be honest. I put as many premiums as I can to start with, even then if I've got rubbish on, you know, for the rest. And then obviously it never works. So you go back down to what the guys have been saying, maybe 3-4 premiums. Then you look at the players that are quite cheap, that can do well, the ones who will start, I think very important. Have a look at all the friendly matches now and who plays, who doesn't, who does well, who doesn't, to have a better idea maybe who's going to start the season well and who's on top form when the season starts. Because friendlies, they're a good indicator. That it's not everything about friendlies because managers usually change a lot, but it gives you a good idea. Someone like Anthony Martial, for example, who's been really, really good since Ten Hag arrives, has played really well in friendlies, scored goals. So you think, okay, there's something there maybe to look into. And then you look at his price, look if he fits in your team, if you can afford him, that kind of stuff. I think friendly matches right now, it's a good time to look at that maybe are doing well with their clubs right now.
I feel like you two have been watching a lot of friendlies for this reason. Gianni, you're nodding at me. It makes me think that while you've been feeding baby Guy, you've also been watching a lot of friendlies.
Yeah, I feel like the season... honestly, I feel like the season's already started. I've been watching so much football.
Your poor wife, Cam.
Yeah, yeah. So look, there's been a huge amount. And some of them I take with a pinch of salt. When you see friendlies where it's Premier League team versus Premier League team, that's when I really take notice. Mm. So for example, we saw Arsenal-Chelsea over the weekend. Straight away,
I was like, that one.
I didn't enjoy that. I'm sure Jules did, but you know, 4-0 Arsenal. You look at that and you go, okay, it's they're both putting strong 11s out. They're both at the same stage of pre-season. This is a fair test, and you see players like Gabriel Jesus playing so well. You look at your Chelsea defenders and go, oh, why am I so invested there? It questions everything, and I think the community shield, in a way, you know, is the best friendly that we're going to see. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of our teams will probably be ripped up off the back of seeing that game between City, you know, your Haalands and your KDBs and your Liverpool assets as well. I think a lot will change off the back of that.
We're throwing in a lot of names at this point. I should remind listeners, we're going to have two podcasts before the start of the season. So we will go through teams in a bit more depth. We'll hopefully help you make some of those decisions about which players. But let's go back a little bit. If we're talking about setting up your team, Sam, we've talked a lot about the premiums. Mm. Burner slots. Mm. That's a name or a phrase that's often used in FPL. Just explain what that means and if you have them in your squad.
Yeah, so burner slots are positions on the pitch where you basically pick a player that's not going to play. So they're either a fourth or fifth choice at the club that they are at, or they are a player that has very little chance of getting minutes on the pitch. And you pick them simply because they are the lowest budget players in the game. That means you can spend more of your budget in your first 11 or in your first two bench slots. So there's some real merit to doing it. And I think in the early part of the season, especially, you can safely deploy a burner slot because you're probably not going to need your full bench. You're probably not going to need to have three players coming on. But I actually don't like it. I don't like knowing that if I do get to that third spot, I don't have anyone that can come on. And I think this season we've got a number of 4 million defenders who look like they're actually going to get some really good game time. Like, I'm particularly thinking about Nico Williams after his move. So, you know, you look at players like that and you think, well, I've got some really nice options. And then in the midfield, we've got players like Pereira at 4.5. So we do have the burner slot positions this year actually looking like they might be playable. So whilst they will still fit that burner slot mode in that they're cheap, you will hopefully get some game time out of them.
Jules, I bet you have to have a few burner slots in your squad because I know you love a premium.
I do. Although I'm trying in all the draft I've made to keep a strong bench. Let's not forget there will be 5 subs in the Premier League this season coming, which I think changes a little bit the dynamic of what managers can do. They might rotate far more with their starting 11, for example. There might be a lot of early substitutions. There's a lot of things that can happen with five subs compared to three subs. So maybe it's good to not have burner slots, or like Sam rightly said, and I think a lot of us will have Nico Williams, or we'll have Andres Pereira, or we'll have others like that, to have cheap players who you know will start or will at least play quite a lot or quite regularly with their club.
I guess we do also have to consider, hopefully there won't be as many games rescheduled as there was last season, but we are still living in a world, we've seen it with the Women's Euros, where players are still getting COVID. So that's one other thing we do still have to consider a little bit, Gianni, in terms of if we're going to have these burner slots and we're going to have players that don't play, there is an element of risk attached.
Yeah, it changed the way we manage our FPL teams during the last couple of seasons with the amount of postponements and rescheduled matches we had. So we invested more money on our benches than ever before. I'm going sort of halfway between this season. I'm looking at players, of course, that are going to feature on my bench, but at the same time I want to invest in my 11, and I know an early wild card is fairly likely, and therefore the need for a big bench early on, I don't think it's necessarily there. So I'm actually looking at a burner slot. For example, I've got a 4.5 forward who I know isn't going to start for his team. He might come off the bench and get a few points, but don't think I'm going to need that third sub.
Well, Jules rightfully pointed out that the five sub rule could impact our FPL teams this season. So let's talk a little bit more about the chips that are in the game, the ones that are already in the game, and a new, rather exciting one that is kind of going to come into play during the World Cup. A reminder, the chips we get as FPL managers, the bench boost, which enables your players that are on your bench to also collect points for your team. That is available now, as is triple captain, which means your captain gets triple points. Then after the game week one deadline, the wild card and free hit will come into play. A reminder, you get two wild cards per season. You have to use the first wild card in the first half of the season, the second wild card in the second half of the season. Wild card is simply you get to completely change your team. Free hit means you get a completely different team for 1 week only, and then it reverts back to your previous team. I love a bit of chip chat. I really do. Let's firstly, though, talk a little bit about the new unlimited transfer rule that is going to come in at the end of the year, Sam, because this one is pretty exciting.
Yeah, this was the thing I was most excited about, actually, when it came to starting the FPL season. Obviously, I picked my team and then I went straight to the rules page. And it's like, how are we managing the World Cup? Because we've never had to do this before as FPL managers. Normally, the World Cup, the Euros, we deal with them outside of an FPL season, and it's a nice filler between FPL campaigns. But now it's coming right in the middle. So it was really great to see that FPL had added this unlimited transfer window. It comes into effect with the Game Week 16 deadline on the 12th of November and runs all the way through to the Boxing Day fixtures in Game Week 17. And in that period, we can make as many transfers as we want. We can target players that are in form, out of form, the ones that go a long way in the competition, the ones that don't go to the competition at all. Loads of flexibility. It's effectively another wild card, which is great.
It was a popular choice in the community as well. There was a lot of speculation, will this happen? And it's great. We can enjoy the World Cup knowing we can still tinker with our teams. And there's players that aren't going to the World Cup who will be on a nice rest. And I'm expecting their ownership to shoot up. Your Mahrezes, your Haalands, your Salahs, popular players who out the back of the World Cup will be very highly owned.
Yeah.
Jules, how do you think the World Cup being mid-season will affect FPL? Because I've seen a lot of people saying it's going to be interesting for Premier League teams. The teams that are doing really well maybe won't want the break to come, but they've got no choice, have they? But how do you think it'll affect us in FPL terms?
It'd be massive. Like Gianni just said, I mean, the ones who are not going to go are going to pretty much have a month off, you know, and the month holidays, although they will have training. But you could expect them to be much fitter than the ones who would have played at the World Cup. Many games, for example, have gone really far. Maybe the England international, all the England players then were going to come back to the Premier League clubs after having been in Qatar for so long, having played all those matches. Maybe the disappointment of not winning the World Cup, especially for England. I mean, France winning the World Cup, all the players coming back to England, so happy, etc. Personally, as I'm not as good as you in the game, it's messing up with my mind already, this third wild card, basically, because when do I play the first one? You have to play it before the World Cup, but then there's not much time between the start of the season and the start of the World Cup. And I wake up at night, literally a nightmare, saying, when am I going to play this first wild card? It's crazy. It's already doing my head in, man. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, Jules, like if you think about it, we've got to game week 16 to use a wild card, but to then know we've effectively got another one as well. So using a wild card in game week 14, 15 just seems silly. It'd be for 1 or 2 weeks only. So I think more than ever before, we're going to be looking at that early wild card. And you don't want to book a wild card in, but my advice to anyone when putting out that first 11 or that first 15-man squad, think of the first 5 weeks only. That's all you only need to think of that first window, because you might end up wildcarding game week 5, 6, 7 or 8. That's when most of us, I think, will be wildcarding.
And let's not forget, there's an international break at the end of September. So maybe it's a good time to reassess your team then, and then maybe play that wild card at that point. Mm. Although, like Gianni said, there's not much time then after that international break at the end of September before the World Cup starts. So it's just about when you play as early as you can, maybe, or leave it a little bit later. But that international break could be good to just see how a team have been doing so far.
I mean, game week 8, when that international break is, it's actually quite a nice point to wildcard because it's exactly halfway between the beginning of the season and the World Cup starting. So it means you can target in on those 8 fixtures. There's some nice fixture swings in that period too. For me, I think you kind of have to, it's going to completely change how I play FPL, because normally I am one of these managers that likes to hold my wildcard right till the end of the window. I play it just before Christmas, and that means I can hold my second wildcard until we get into those massive big game weeks that come as a result of FA Cup and, you know, the double game weeks and the blank game weeks that come later on in the season. So I'm having to rethink everything about my FPL team. I'm no longer planning like I would for an extended period of time with my game week one team. And I'm having to just really focus in on these beginning parts of the season. Like you say, for me, I'm looking around game week 5 to game week 8 as a perfect spot for the wild card to come in.
Within that period as well, not only do we have the international break, we've also got the introduction of loads of European fixtures, mm-hmm. right? So at the moment, we're producing a squad full of the teams that are involved in Europe, because at the moment, they're just playing once a week.
Yeah.
As soon as they're playing twice a week, they've got the midweek fixtures. We might then start looking at your teams like Leicester, for example, who don't have mm-hmm. European football this season.
And the Brentford fixtures turn really nice around that time too. And of course, they don't have any European commitments this year. So investing in teams like that in a wild card around game week 5 is perfect, really.
We haven't spoken specifically about teams, but do you target teams at this point? And when you're thinking about maybe wildcarding early, are you looking at certain teams and you're thinking, well, if a top team, say in Man City or your Liverpool's fixtures turn, are you already looking ahead to that when you're planning your team at the moment and potentially planning for these wildcards?
I mean, I think about it less at the beginning of the season than I do when we're in the season. Like when I'm wildcarding, I really carefully think about fixtures and targeting good games. At this point, because we only have pre-season to go on, because we've got a lot of new players being added to the game, I'm thinking about flexibility as much as possible and movement between players and across teams. But when I get to that wildcard, definitely, I'm looking at those windows of opportunity for playing it. And I'm looking at game week 5, I'm looking at game week 8, and I'm also looking at game week 11, although that feels a little bit too close to the World Cup. But I'm looking at those windows thinking, maybe this is the opportunity because, oh, these clubs I could really target in on. And of course, as Gianni says, you know, you've got Champions League, Europa League, the Conference League all kicking off at those points. So maybe I want less of those, or maybe the 5 sub rule might come back into effect at that point because we might see people coming off early, particularly with those defenders. I don't want them going off before 60 minutes. So it does have an impact, but maybe less so than it does at wildcard time.
Okay, so let's be honest. I know people, I'm not going to call them out on this podcast, but I know people, not on this podcast, I'd like to point out as well, that have picked a team before and after game week 1 just gone, oh no, I've got this horrifically wrong, and have wondered about wildcarding. And I know some people that have actually wildcarded. Jules, is it a bad thing that if you, maybe you did decide to go against Salah and then you realised after game week 1, what have I done? Is there a problem with wildcarding that early on? Or is that like quite a bold, brave manager who's not afraid to say, actually, I've got it wrong, and to save your season rather than potentially miss out on those Salah points forever? What would you think? Is it okay to do that?
I guess so, maybe. Personally, I think that you also need to let those players, and maybe the new signings who've come to the Premier League first, like for the first time, a bit of time for them to establish themselves and to start playing well and shining. I think it's quite brutal after just one match day, one game week, to change everything or a lot of the team and using your wild card so early, because maybe some will just need 2 matches, and for those 2 matches, it's worth keeping them in to not play your wild card too early.
Yeah.
And after 2 blank weeks, for example, then they start playing well and they start getting you return points and all of that, and then you're happy with them. So I think it's always quite tricky and dangerous to use your wild card so early, because, you know, a Erling Haaland or Darwin Nunez might take a couple of weeks, but it's okay if they just had 2 points the first 2 matches. Then after that, start playing well, start scoring, and then you're happy that you don't have to, you know, to bring them back in, for example, if you got rid of them after one game for playing your wild card. So I always feel like giving the players a bit of time just to settle in the new season. I don't think that's too bad.
Be honest, When's the earliest you've used your wild card?
I'm pretty good. I promise you, I'm pretty good with the wild card. I'm too good. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, I like those players. As you know, I'm very romantic. And some of the players I use are some of my friends. So I keep them in when I shouldn't, because they keep saying to me, am I still in your team? I say, yeah, of course you are. And it costs me a lot. But this is the way I play. But sometimes I should be a bit less loyal, like Gianni was saying at the start of the show, and maybe a bit more ruthless. So maybe I should. And now we will have to play that first wild card early anyway.
Jules, seeing as you've got so many friends that That's are apparently okay. footballers, I look forward to using your contact book this year to get them on the podcast.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get in Harry Kane.
Yeah. We'll get Harry Kane in the studio at some point. H is my guy. Oh, interesting. What about you guys? When's the earliest you've used your wild card? Because we've all been there. We've all made mistakes at the beginning of the season.
See, I'm notoriously stubborn. And because the way I like to play FPL, I like my wild card to be available late on. So I will quite often go, this team really needs a wild card. I wonder if I can just get through a
that's
couple
like
more
me.
Weeks.
And that's what caused me this massive... Yeah. Sorry, I'm getting angry. I'm actually banging the chair because I was going to get top 30K last season. Yeah. I held on to this wild card despite everyone telling me not to. I held on to this wild card and I used it with about 3 game weeks to go. And don't get me wrong, my team was better, but it would have been better if I'd done that 5 or 6 game weeks before.
And I think it's something you've got to learn from, right? Is that it's okay. It's okay to look at your team, and it's something I've really got to take on board this year. It is okay if you get to game week 2, 3, look at your team and go, no, I've made a mistake and I need to fix it. And it's okay if that happens after game week 1 as well. Jules is right. I mean, in game week 1, Man City play West Ham. Are we going to see the best Man City team? Are we going to see Haaland get hat-trick? Well, maybe not. But the fixtures that follow for them are so nice. So maybe game week 1 isn't the best time. Maybe there is a little bit of patience that happens and give it 2 game weeks. But if you get to game week 3 and you go, this really isn't working for me, then it's fine to hit the wild card then.
Yeah.
I have this theory of if my team needs more than 4 or 5 changes, if I look at it and think I don't want 4 or 5 players in my team, then I wild card. However, last year I was persuading myself that I could get to 7 or 8. Is there a kind of a benchmark or a number where you think, okay, I'm at that point now, I've got to wild card?
Do you know what, sometimes that might not ever happen in a season, and then you just keep your wild card and you never get to that threshold. So for me, I like the rule of not being too stubborn and being quite aggressive with it. So I've used a wild card before after game week 3, and I think I had a really good season off the back of it. I went early, and the beauty of going early is there's loads of players going up in value at the start of the season. So you can jump on all those in-demand players, and before you know it, you've got really good team value. So there's lots of positives to an early wild card. Don't be wed to an idea. It's not a sign of weakness at all. Mm-hmm. Aggressive FPL managers are often rewarded.
One thing I do remember back in 2021, I felt very much that I didn't need it at all. And I got to the final game week where I could play it. And I was like, well, I don't really know what to do with it because I've only got 3 players.
All right, show off.
No, but this is a highly unusual. I don't think this happens very often. Yeah. But I got to that point and I was like, it only really feels like there's 3 changes to be made here. So I played it at that point. But then because I was on my wild card, I was like, well, maybe I should make some other changes because it seems ridiculous to play it for 3. And actually sometimes that is just the limit. So I don't think that there's a set, you have to have 8 players that you want to change. It's okay if it's just 4. It's okay if it's 12. It's all right if you want to change all 15. The wildcard is for you to use at the moment where it best suits your team and it allows you to get on a player. If you start the season without Salah and he's going crazy, which he might, and you don't have an easy way to get to him bar wildcarding, that's fine.
We should also mention there, Gianni, you talked about prices and the fact that prices go up. You get given 100 million at the start of the season, but when players do well, they get more transfers in and then they hit a threshold and their price goes up overnight. So that is something that we do have to think about, Sam, isn't it?
Absolutely, because you do not want to get to a point where you're priced out of them. So you do have to watch those markets, pay careful attention to the players that are in demand because you don't want to be priced out of them. It's part of the reason I like to leave 0.5 million in my bank at the start of the season, because then when the players they're going to go up by 0.1, and you might lose 0.1 in another player if they don't play in game week 1. You've still got the flexibility to move around. So just having 500,000 in the bank is really handy.
But if you start game week 1 with Harry Kane and you're thinking come game week 2, you want to go to Haaland, who's got Bournemouth, there's a very good chance Haaland goes up in value if he's had a good game week 1. So you can't make that simple switch unless you're taking a 4-point hit, which you don't really want to do after 1 game week. So you leaving that little bit of 0.5 in the bank is worth it. It's just, can you create that dream draft with 99.5 million? Yeah. I always struggle.
Yeah.
Jules, are you going to leave some money in the bank for things like
never.
That? Because we do have to consider that switch there. But I knew that was coming. Jules is just splashing that cash, aren't you?
It's there to be spent, so I spend it. Give me more.
I also know that Jules, even if he wanted to make that Harry Kane to Haaland transfer, he absolutely wouldn't make it out of loyalty, would you?
To be fair, I probably won't either.
Yeah, to be fair, wrong crowd for that joke, Jelly. Completely the wrong crowd. Let's talk a little bit more about the other chips then, because I scooted across them because we were so excited about the unlimited transfers and the wild cards. Free hit, bench boost, triple captain. When's the best time for managers to play those, do you think, Sam? Are you already targeting game weeks at this point, or is it a case of wait and see?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because as a seasoned FPL manager, you go, hold them. Hold the chips. Game weeks where they come in the future with double fixtures, and of course a double game week means the team plays twice. Those are the sorts of game weeks you want to play the triple captain and the bench boost, because you maximise the points potential. But if we remind ourselves of game week one last season, we saw Salah going on a little riot against Norwich. We had Bruno Fernandes with a hat trick to start the season. So there is definitely some merit if you look at a player and they're coming into the season in a really good vein of form and there's the perfect fixture to start the season. I can see why. But for me, the best thing to do is just to be calm, let the season go in, playing your normal team and use those chips a bit later on.
Yeah, we do have to remember that you get two wild cards, but you only get one free hit. We got two free hits last year. We got an additional gift, didn't we, from FPL?
Yes.
But just the one this year, bench boost and triple captain. I like a good triple captain story.
Yeah.
Triple captain is my favourite chip, bar none, because if your player goes crazy and gets loads of points, you get big points.
Mm.
Anyone remember a couple of years ago when Sadio Mane had a double game week and then went off? I think it was at Molineux, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he went off really early. Jules, I believe you had him then, didn't you?
Indeed, yeah. It was a disaster, absolute disaster class. I will never forget this one.
That was the game week where Lee had also triple captain Mane and I had it on Firmino. So it was one of those that we sat down together. Obviously, Lee's a Liverpool fan watching that game. And a bit like Jules, I imagine he and Lee were just like heads in hands. Whereas I was thinking, oh my goodness, this is a real opportunity to put a march on. Something about a differential triple captain, isn't there?
Why is it we always remember the bad though? Yeah. Like, I can tell you loads of really difficult stories from my triple captaincy. I can't tell you too many good ones. Like last season, I had Salah in the first game of the double. Yeah. He was injured. The year before that, I think I had KDB in the first game of the double. He got injured. So that is a risk. When you wait for those fixtures around the double game week where you know your guy's going to get 180 minutes, it doesn't always work out that way. But of course, we've got to wait for that second half of the season. We're going to see doubles galore.
I feel really mean there, Jules, that I came to you and remembered that you had Sadio Mane. I should put my hands up and say I also had him in that game week. Have you got any good stories? Because Gianni said he struggles to remember good stories. Any times where your triple captains paid off?
I can't even remember that, no.
You must have triple captained Harry Kane at some point, Jules, surely.
Yeah, last season. But no, that was a good one last season. I think he got a goal and an assist and a goal on the second game or something like that. So it was good, but I believe Son did better over these two games, so I should have triple captained him or something like that. There's always better.
I was going to say, I tried to give Jules an opportunity to big himself up as an FPL manager to give us good stories, and he can only remember the
humble.
Bad ones and kind
you know
of
I mean.
Vaguely remember the good ones. Regular listeners will also know or very quickly realise that humble is not a word that we associate with Jules in these parts. Let's talk quickly, bench boost, free hits. How excited are we by those? I also love a free hit, though my free hit team never performs better than my actual team. Anyone
I mean,
else?
For me, it's the best chip in the game. I love the free hit chip because you get to just go against the grain. You
Does
get
it
to
stress you?
Oh, I love the free. I love.
If it doesn't
I welcome
stress
that.
You, is it really FPL?
Yeah, that's true.
It's good stress.
Like you get to just go for 15 players that you might ordinarily want to go against one week, but you just fancy them. That you know, the Jamie Vardy's, for example, can you fit them in your normal team? Maybe not, but he can be a really fun one week own.
It's hard though, isn't it, with the free hit? Because, like you say, Kelly, I have this immediate panic as soon as the deadline passes of what if my actual team now outperforms?
Oh, mine did that last season.
Well, so did mine. So I had mine still available on the last day of the season last year. And I was like, brilliant. I can target in on all the teams that have got something to play for. So I went for triple Spurs. Of course I did. Yeah. But I ended up with the wrong three Spurs players because I took out Kulusevski to help
I
Spurs
did that
defender.
Too.
And I just felt like, I mean, that has been that was just a tail last season. And I think for me, the free hit is great when you use it in the right moment. Whereas yeah. I felt I kind of kept it too long last year. And if I'd have played it earlier, yeah. I probably could have got more momentum out of it. So yes, it's great, but I need to spend some real time thinking about my free hit. So I'm sure I don't, you know, get the wrong players.
Yeah. Wasn't Mahrez Manchester City's top scorer last season? Yeah. I brought him in for the double and I think he got a point.
Yeah.
And I got rid of Phil Foden and I think he scored something like that. Anyway, yeah. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's move on, in fact, because it's just, as this podcast is going on, I'm remembering more yeah. and more of my horror shows.
Lesson to learn from this. Don't go back and work out what your team would have got
yes.
in any scenario. Just play
what's in front of you. That's a key bit of advice yeah. for FPL managers. Don't worry about it. We've all had these highs. We've all had these lows, haven't we, Jules?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Okay, let's go back to fixtures, because we talked briefly about them before and how maybe at this stage we're not looking too much at specific teams, but there are some fixture swings, as we call them in FPL. Sam, are you already identifying some of those?
Oh, for sure. I think, yeah. So for those of you that are new to FPL, a fixture swing is a period of time where a team comes off of what's not necessarily a really attractive run of fixtures and goes into a run of form where they have lovely fixtures to come. And the opportunity for points returns feels like it grows. So when we look at the start of the season, there are a number of teams that are up there with really high, nice, attractive fixtures. And so there are a few fixture swings coming into the period of time between game week one and the World Cup starting. Between game week one and game week five, we've got some really nice teams up at the top. So we've got teams like Arsenal, Manchester City, Liverpool are in there, Aston Villa, Chelsea, and also Wolves. So they're quite a nice one to look at investing in early on in the season because they're nice and cheap and they allow for budget. When we go beyond game week five, we can start to see a wildcard team shaping up, because suddenly at the top of the fixture ticker, we've got teams like Newcastle, Nottingham Forest, Leicester, and as Gianni mentioned, don't have European football either. So they're really nice to look at that point. Bournemouth are in there, Leeds are in there, Brentford are in there. So we've got a real swing of teams that we would want to be changing to. And then if we have a look at that change again from game week eight onwards, obviously after game week eight and the international break, we get Bournemouth top of the ticker. Leicester's still around, but Aston Villa come back into it then, and Everton and Chelsea are back. So there's a lot of different teams that we can look to invest in. If you want to play a fixture swing that's really quite interesting, game week 11, if you wildcard at that point, you've got Liverpool, who have got Manchester City and West Ham to play. You've got Arsenal, who have got Leeds and Manchester City to play. And you've got Manchester City with Liverpool and Arsenal. So there's a moment in time where you maybe don't want to be invested in them. But Spurs have some really nice fixtures.
Of course they do.
Shock, that was always coming.
But so do Chelsea. So we can have a little look at moving. We can, you see, Jules is with me. We can move between those different teams. And by picking out those fixture periods and having them noted in your FPL journal, in your calendar on the wall, if you're an FPL manager that likes to play it like that, they're really helpful to have. And of course, the FDR, which is available on the Premier League website, will give you all of that information.
Yeah, the FDR being the fixture difficulty rating, which kind of ranks teams' fixtures in terms of what we think is the difficulty of those fixtures. That's a really useful tool that you can check out on fantasy.premierleague.com. Jules, do you use the FDR much, or do you kind of just use the eye test? I know you go to a lot of games. Is it a combination for you?
Yeah, combination, really. I think we always say it, but it's true. You can still do, your players can do really well in the top game. You know, Liverpool against City, KDB or Mo Salah. Big players usually always do well in big games too. So it doesn't always mean that you have to drop some of the players because they face a Liverpool or a City. Sometimes it's not a problem. But yeah, you have to take it in consideration, especially maybe at the start of the season, like Sam very well explained. Maybe the way that you plan the next 12 weeks or 15 weeks, look at the FDR, see where it is. Arsenal have a very good start of the season, so have City. If you're a big Gabriel Jesus fan, for example, like he seemed the whole world right now because he's the highest ownership ever so far, then you know, go for him and go for Arsenal assets. And then, but yeah, it's very important. Every week you should spend a lot of time looking at those fixtures.
Yeah, I love looking at the fixtures like that, Jules, but you make a really good point about the good teams, like the premium assets from the good teams, even when they have hard games, they can still deliver. So I take it with a pinch of salt when we're looking at some of the teams that are perhaps mid-table. So Sam read out a list there of some good teams with good fixtures, but are they great teams? So do you want to go and commit to Brentford, Aston Villa just because they've got a great run? Mm. Perhaps not. Like, my theory is usually you back the big four, the big six, and that's the core of your FPL team, regardless of fixtures.
The good thing about the wildcard this year, though, of course, when you do play it by fixtures, is that it's not that many weeks before the World Cup. So if you play in game week 11, you've got 5 weeks before you break up for the World Cup. So if you do want to get involved with some of these teams that are in the middle ground and want to play the fixtures, you're not committing to owning them for 10, 12 game weeks, which can feel quite a nice way to play the fixtures.
Yeah, these wild cards plus the unlimited transfers are certainly going to make it interesting, aren't they? Now, we are going to round off this podcast very shortly. And on the podcast that's going to come out later this week, we will talk specifically about teams and players, hopefully help you as you start to shape your squads as we count down to the game week one deadline. But I want to end this by you guys giving our listeners one key piece of FPL advice for the season, one takeaway that they should take. Jules, take it away.
Well, I think, again, you should listen to this advice very carefully because it's the best advice that you're going to hear today. And it's the same that I
just what is this going to go?
Just saying. And we say often, this is not new no brainer, but go with your gut feelings as well. It's all great to look at expected goals, expected chances, shots on goal for strike, everything you want. All the stats are very, very important. The FDR is very important. We said it, but also go with your gut feeling. What you see on television, if you watch a game and there's a player that you can see with your own eyes that is looking good for you, that you feel is on form, it's full of confidence, then don't hesitate to bring him into your team and play him. I still think that gut feelings is one of the best assets on this game.
I want to say at this point that Jules had a gut feeling last season about Aaron Ramsdale and that paid off, didn't it? You had a gut about him. I'm bigging you up here.
You laughed at me. You and Sam Bolfi laughed at me.
I like the fact I'm getting called by my full name.
Yeah,
now.
You are in trouble.
I'm in that much
you
trouble.
Laughed, and then by the end of the season, did you have Aaron Ramsdale in your team?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, quite a long time.
Julien Laurent, Sam Bonfield, Gianni Batista. I'm using all of your full names because we're running out of time. Sam, your key bit of advice: if you could give managers one piece of advice that they should live by, Jules says, follow your gut. You say.
To start the season, pick the price points carefully. Have a 6 million defender, have an 8 million midfielder, and know you can move successfully between them as they hit form.
Wonderful.
My big thing is take out club bias. Like, we're all football fans. That's why we play this game. But forget for 1 minute who you support and just pick the best players. Don't put triple, you know, Aston Villa players in just because you're a Villa fan. Or don't not pick Wolves players because they're a rival of yours. Like, take a step back. Yeah. Pick the 15 best players.
It's a good job my team were relegated. It's a good job, given my team were relegated last season, that I also didn't go with my heart and didn't pick them at all at any point last season. Well, that is where we are going to leave this episode of the FPL pod today. Thank you so much for listening. We've loved having your company and we cannot wait to live this crazy roller coaster of FPL with you this season. We'll be back later this week talking about specific players with even more advice. Thank you, Sam. You're going to stick with us the rest of the season?
Yeah, as long as Jules doesn't keep calling me by my full name.
Yeah. Julien Laurent, are we going to get your company back each and every week? We've not put you off.
Of course. This is the dream team, of course.
The dream team. And this week we were completed by Gianni Batista. Gianni, thank you so much for coming down. Back off to the nappies now. We've given you a morning off.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me. Do remember, if you are listening to this, you can set your team up right now on fantasy.premierleague.com. You can also do that on the Premier League app. What are you waiting for? Get your team registered. I want to hear your good team names as well. You can also follow @officialFPL on Twitter. And we'll be back with you later this week.